What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I still feel like the Nuggets are the team to beat this year, but some of these young squads might make some noise.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Jenkins only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Sunday, April 21st, and we have got playoff basketball to talk about. We've gotten a chance to see the first game from every series. We are definitely not casting aspersions on the baseball ability of 12-year-olds on the Jenkins and Jones podcast.
For sure.
That's definitely not what we're doing as we begin the playoff spectacular episode. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
And we're produced, as always, by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
What's up?
All right, if you're hanging out with us Sunday night live on YouTube, thank you so much. YouTube.com/@JenkinsandJones. If you're listening to this on your pod feed, we will be going live a couple times a week after playoff games. We're going to talk about every playoff series. We're going to do Dookie Butt of the Week. We're going to do it all. But we have to start, to our surprise perhaps, with the OKC Pelicans 1-8 matchup, which I'll be honest, that was not the one I had circled on my calendar, and it was by far the best first game of the playoffs, and I just had an absolute blast, fellas.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. You know, the whole thing is like OKC isn't battle tested. They're young. They are the youngest number one seed in NBA history, right? So, I mean, I think that we all see the potential in this OKC squad. We all feel like, you know, they got to get some battle scars, you know, on their resume first. But it was a good one, man. And those, look, I'm gonna tell you, the way they closed that shit out, they did not look like a young squad. That was some savvy vet type shit there, right? So yeah, I mean, I don't know how much we can hold that young shit against them. You know, we'll see as the postseason plays out. But those boys showed out tonight, man.
I mean, in the first half, they looked a little tight. You know what I mean? First playoff games for a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? So these first SGA is like the fucking guy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's to be, you can let that go. But I mean, the way, like you said, the way they closed it out was what I looked at. You know what I mean? SGA stepping up in the final minutes. Chet, you know, he missed the first free throw, but he had that big block. You know what I mean? Prior to that on that. So, yeah, bro, like the way they closed it out showed that, you know, they deserve to be there. But I mean, they're definitely a young team. There are moments in the game where I'm like, you know, turnovers, you know, hard to get buckets, where they, you know, they seem like the lights were a little bright. But this is the first game. I'm not going to judge them based off of that. You know, they'll probably get better as the series goes on and as the playoffs goes on.
I think the series will remain interesting as long as they don't get better. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. Like,
so you're rooting for that. So,
I mean, it was just fun having two. First of all, I think they're both really likable teams. And, yeah. You know, like, it's just nice to have a series like that where you're like, there's a lot of dudes to root for on both sides. I mean, you mentioned some of the issues for the Thunder. How many shots did they give the Pelicans on the next to last possession for the? I think the four? Pelicans went 0 for 4, 0 for 5, yeah. And it was the rare opportunity for all five players to get to play hero ball on the same play. I'm going to make the game-winning three-pointer. No, I'm going to make the game-winning three-pointer. No, I'm going to make the game-winning three-pointer. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, shout out to them for closing out, though. You feel me? And Lou Dort, bro. What he did with Ingram? You feel me? Made everything difficult, man. Shout out to him for sure. So.
All right. That was great. Should we talk about the Lakers?
Should we? Do we have to? Y'all lied to me. Let's talk about that. Let's not talk about y'all getting me to lie to myself. I've 2 years I've gone without lying to myself, dog. You feel me? One quarter in. Go ahead, dog. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're right. We did convince you to lie to yourself, and I lied to myself. And then now we got your mom talking shit on you with the smiley face emoji and shit, which is cool. She,
my mom in the group text. Y'all hear something sizzling? Bro, we get fried, brother, because we was talking shit the first half, me and my little brother Aaron, like, yeah, fuck the Nuggets, you feel me? Brian looked like a god again, you know what I mean? The fourth quarter we saw a 38 year old man, you know, that had to push himself a little bit too hard, you feel me? And so I hate to see it, bro. Like, the thing is, we need the Nuggets just have to be themselves to win a chip, you know what I mean? To win this series, we need our two gods to play like gods. And we need the people that are role players to play out of their mind. And it's like when you're relying on role players to be much better than they are, that's a bad place to be in. I mean, even if D'Lo wasn't ass, he's not a good playoff player. You know what I mean? And I don't want to take anything away from what he did during the regular season. Had a great season, bro. You feel me? I don't want to take that from the
first job. All that,
he earned that. He earned that. You know what I mean? But like, it just seems like when the lights turn on, bro, something is missing. And I hope this is just you know. I hope he picks it up. You know, the rest of the series. But I don't think that even solves our issues. They're just better than us. You know, Brian hitting that three, y'all got me to lie to myself. I'm like, yo, I forgot Brian was a fucking god. My bad. Never again. And then he gets dunked on by fucking Joker 30 minutes later. And it's like, oh, yeah, I was right. He's 38. And he's a great player, but it's just hard to ask that from him. And also D'Lo, too, during the time when we needed wins, like he played great basketball in that last 6 weeks. So I don't want to take. So, it doesn't fucking matter. In the playoffs, it doesn't matter.
Tyler, do you have anything for me, bro? Is there like what are we hanging on to? The two of us,
bro, they needed to win that fucking game, man. Like, you know, it was an incredible game from AD. He had like what 32, 14, and 5, and like 4 blocks. And Bron had like fucking 27 and 6 and 8. And they had, you know, runs where they really got a formidable lead on Denver, but then wound up choking them up. If you're going to beat Denver, you just can't let shit like that, you know, slip through your fingers, bro. Like, it's just to be, you know, like John said, to beat Denver, you're going to have to be perfect. And this was a game that they should have fucking won, man. And it's just, you know, like I said, I was never on the whole they're going to win this series. I was like, they've got a slim shot. And their chances just got slimmer after choking that one away, bro.
I think there's
did Bron shoot in the fourth quarter? He didn't even shoot in the fourth quarter, did he?
Bron knew it was up in the fourth quarter. Bron was. It felt like Bron was.
Did you see that shot of him at the third,
energy, bro.
At the beginning of the fourth quarter, though? And I'm like, Bron's looking into the future. The series is over. He know they smoking his ass up.
I think they're gonna roll his ass up, smoke him in a pack.
But go ahead.
There's two things that jumped out to me. One was Bron obviously knew exactly what we just said. Like they have to be perfect. He really got into D'Lo after one of the second half turnovers that was a bad. I mean, he really got into him to the extent that the announcers were almost like. Sounded like a little concerned for D'Angelo Russell. They're like, Bron is really letting D'Angelo Russell know he's displeased with that turnover. But it's like, yeah, man, this is not Wednesday night in fucking March. It's the playoffs. It's a different sport. And you might have been really good on Wednesday night in March, but this is just the consistent pattern with D'Lo. And I don't know what's fixable about that. I mean, guard defense and guard like consistency of playmaking and being able to score I don't know what the fix is there. And that's what's concerning because that it's just going to be water hitting the brick wall and the brick wall not yielding over and over again for the rest of the series. That's what it feels like to me. You know, they might D'Lo and Austin Reeves might have a game where they make some threes, but it's not going to solve the defensive issues.
Yeah.
So I don't know, bro.
Speaking of bricks in the chat, we have Elijah Newsom who said, D'Lo should be banned from shooting in the playoffs. Buddy built a whole subdivision in that game with that many bricks.
Steph Curry tight, bro. He built a lot of affordable housing last night, bro.
Yeah, Steph was on some bullshit. Hey, he was what 6-for-20 and like 1-for-9 from three? Like just, bro, like here's the whole thing. Like I know, Mike, you never bought the D'Lo stock, but there was the time when D'Lo was on the training table and it was like, bro, he was just balling out in that period. And from the trade deadline on and that latter half of the season, he kind of looked like, okay, he might be the number three here. He might be the number three guy that LA has always needed. And they didn't have to cut their depth to try to put him in a package with Rui and Reeves or for Zach or whoever the fuck. But bro, you just 6-for-20, 1-for-9 from three, like, dog, like, and that's probably what Bron was lighting into him. Bron has probably told him the same shit that we're saying right now. Bro, we need you to be the third best player. Oh, you know, me and AD, we're gonna ball. We need you to be the third best player that we've got here. And he just was not that guy last night.
Look at some of the motherfuckers I've won with, D'Lo. You're not as good as some of these motherfuckers, bro.
J.R. Smith, the motherfucker turned J.R. Smith into a valuable contributor on a championship team. Come on, D'Angelo.
But what he did, J.R. Smith became a serious basketball player mentally. You feel me? And I think that's the thing with D'Lo is D'Lo is so fucking unserious. And that's fine in a regular season. But in the playoffs, there's no room for unserious hoops, nigga.
Did you see the press conference?
Take care of the fucking ball, bro.
At minimum, did you see the press conference? Though? He's like, I don't even know the last time I got to shoot the ball 20 times. Like, bro, it's not funny. It's not cute time.
It's not cute.
Going to bring up, the one that killed me the most, you had a 13-point lead on the road in Denver. You've lost to this team 8 times in a row. They swept you in the playoffs last year. And Darvin Ham said after the game, I saved some adjustments on Jokic that we can still make because I didn't want to put it all out there in game one. That's not even the actual quote's worse than what I just said, but he really said that. Like, well, we're going to save some you have to win that game. The whole series changes if you win game one on the road, bro. And you haven't beaten them in forever.
In the fourth, after getting your ass beat in the third. And you have this in your back pocket just holding it for another game? Bron hasn't even shot in the fourth, bro. You know what I'm saying? And you just that's you make it even worse than it already is, bro. You feel me?
Yeah. Y'all had your foot on their neck and you saw Jokic bringing them back in. He said, "Oh no, we're not going to bring out, you know, plan B until game 2." Like what the fuck type of coaching is that, bro?
Insanity. You know? And if you really do have, you know he doesn't have it. But if he really did have it, why would you say that? You know what I'm saying? Like, why? What makes you think that makes it better? I got something else. Well, nigga. Anyway.
Yeah, the this is a feel it out game quote is not the quote after you were up on the road in, yes. in a game that you absolutely could have stolen. It's the quote you use when you like when they handled you easily the whole first game.
And but
it's
you like, well, also you know, haven't out beat game. Them. Like you, right, you right. Maybe there's circumstances where that's not the worst quote in the world. But you're 0-8. Like that. Like it's they swept you last year.
Try something else.
Like. Try it all, bro. You have permission please, to coach. Please. Like you have permission to try and adjust
your hands
on
your
Nikola
pockets,
Jokic,
nigga. You know what I mean? On Joker. You got shit for Joker. You just hold it in your back pocket, nigga. Bro, what the fuck? He's been wrecking us and the rest of the league, nigga. Please pull that shit out. Insanity. You know what I mean? This nigga is cooking, and you just got shit waiting for another game. Motherfucker, we have to be perfect to beat these niggas. We don't have any room to fuck up. Give me a break. It's insane.
Did you see maybe the best non-Jasmine Watkins tweet of the whole opening weekend was Henry the Blasian tweeted a picture of from the commercial where Bron goes back in time to talk to himself as a teenager. And it just says, find a man named Nikola Jokic. Convince him to pursue horse racing full time.
That's his only hope, brother. You feel me?
That might be the only way out, man. I don't know. All right. Well, we'll see what happens game two. Maybe I can't wait to see the adjustment. I'm going to have all the real X's and O's hoop guys shit, notifications.
Bro, he up. Better have something, though. He better have fucking something.
I'm going to have a motherfucking thing, dog. That motherfucker saw AD go out there and what, do 32, 14, 5, and 4 blocks and said, I'm going to just keep this Jokic. I'm gonna just keep this right, stop right. joking card in my back pocket. Right, come right. on, man. Hey, no, you ain't got shit, dog.
I'm gonna wait to coach till next game. I got y'all in. Nigga. Y'all got it this game.
He's waiting for Christian Wood to return in game three.
That's it. Christian Wood, the Joker
the
stopper.
Key. That's the skeleton key.
I had
right
something.
Fuck out of here. I can't believe it. I asked.
Hasn't Bron been through enough? Hasn't he been through enough? He had to go through that warrior shit, bro. You feel me? Like, and now he has to deal with this nigga on his own, like his own coach saying the silliest fuck. Can you imagine being one of the best basketball mind ever and having this motherfucker say some shit like that after you at 38 dropped 19 in the first half, nigga? And I had something, but I'm holding to next game. Bitch, nigga, you got to fight me. See me in the motherfucking parking lot. I'm going to beat your mother. I'm going to beat it out your ass if you can't give it to us in the motherfucking game. I'm going to snatch it up out you, motherfucker. I will be so goddamn hot if that motherfucker said it. As a brilliant mind, I had to deal with this motherfucking silly ass motherfucker that don't want to fucking coach. It's in, I just, bro. Nigga, the nigga's 38. You know what I'm saying? Like.
I got a homie who calls Darvin Ham Donatello, and every time I'm mad at him, that's what I just think. He's just mopey ass Donatello standing over there with his fucking hands in his pockets, not adjusting, and bragging about how he's got something. I got something for you. You're not going to beat us 10 times in a row.
You might have stole this one from us.
Right. You might have stole the 9th in a row, but you won't steal the 10th, nigga.
I'll tell you this. I bet LeBron James's iMessage would show up on a Geiger counter right now, bro. Like, I bet that is like lethal levels of radiation coming off that man's phone right now. I would bet you money LeBron James's group chat would, that would be like, you know, the Magna Carta or something. Like, we could probably get 6 months worth of horrible takes for talking heads out of Bron's group chats right now. Because he, between D'Lo and Darvin Ham, I know he picked that phone up and went fucking crazy.
Bro, this nigga is resting in oxygen fucking, like, you know what I'm saying? Taking oxygen baths to get up and feel like a normal human and play basketball. And these motherfuckers just can't be serious.
And he can't convince D'Lo to not throw the ball out of bounds, trying to make the craziest possible play up one on the road.
Every time he gets the ball in his hand, it's just, I just couldn't imagine it, bro. I would retire. I'm like, yo, it's been fun, nigga. I ain't signed up for this. My legacy stamp, bro. I ain't got to deal with the dumb shit. Nigga, I would have retired after the game. Fuck y'all, fuck everybody, nigga. I'm tired, I'm done. I'm gonna go home and be a family man, nigga. to people that treat me right and motherfucking love me. They respect me. You know what I mean? I'm going to go play horse with my motherfucking son, Bryce, nigga. You know what I mean? At least he's, you know what I mean, nigga? I'm not dealing with this shit, dog. Fuck that, bro. Working when you a billionaire? Nigga, I'm sorry. I don't do it no more. Crazy. Let's
talk about a team coached by a man who could have been the Los Angeles Lakers head coach. The Los Angeles Clippers. My alarm meter over the Clippers' seriousness is in a dangerous spot right now. I do not like feeling like the Clippers are a genuine threat. And man, do they look like a genuine threat. You want to talk about coaching? You take a team that is missing Kawhi Leonard and comes out and I thought the Mavs were, the Mavs were favorites on the road in that game. And the Clippers just took it to, they beat the hell out of them.
Beat the shit out them niggas, dog. Beat them like a drum, you feel me? Crazy.
I don't know. That team's going to get Kawhi back. They're talking about he's not going to be out for the whole playoffs. You know, I mean, it's just he's day-to-day.
Do they need Kawhi? Let that man rest today. The Mavericks proves they got something for you, nigga. Land a jab, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Damn. Touch the nigga. Breathe on the
pitch
nigga.
Pitch the bitch.
Pitch the bitch, nigga. You know what I mean? God damn, bro. Cooked your ass. That was crazy.
That was an ass of... This is a series that even with, you know, the clips at full strength, I wasn't sure how it was going to go, right? Like, but, I don't know. The shit we saw today was just kind of like, I felt like we were willing to overlook the poor roster construction of Dallas and be like, okay, they're clicking. You know, it looks like Luka finally got his number 2 with Kyrie. That might be all we need because Luka's a bad motherfucker, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't, the shit that we saw today, like I don't know. It still feels like roster construction is a major concern with that squad because, you know, if you know, Luka had a decent game, you know, Kyrie had a decent game, but the rest of the squad was like, where were they to be found?
You're not happy with 25 Dante Exum minutes in the playoffs? that doesn't do it for you?
It's so, like, I see him every time he's getting minutes with Dallas. I'm like, bro, he's really in the league. I can't believe this. I thought this dude was going to be done. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the crazy shit is, I remember when he was a prospect, you know, an Australia kid and all
I
that.
I really
like,
wanted
hey,
Dante
yeah.
Exum.
Yeah. And the Jazz picked him up. And it was like.
Did Luka take the boys out last night, man? Did the Mavericks get to LA and think like they don't got Kawhi shit sweet? And has James Harden passed that torch to Luka Doncic? Like, because Harden showed up with his lunchbox, bro. Like, Harden showed up. I mean, you know, well, he had a 28 on 17 shots, 6 of 11 from 3. The Mavs were 10 of 33. I don't know. They just look sleepy, bro. They look like they had a Saturday night out in LA. I'm just being honest. Like they just look like they were sleepwalking.
The matchup is difficult. You feel me? For the Mavs because the Clippers have good guard defense and their scoring comes from the guards. You know what I'm saying? So I think that leans the Clippers way. But yeah, they look like a professional basketball team, and he has them very fucking serious. I wish you could do that over with here with the Lakers, brother. Fuck you, man.
He's saving it. He's saving it for game 2. He's saving it.
Not to get
Ty Lue wanted to be the Lakers coach too, bro.
He wanted it, bro.
They tried to give him 3 years. They tried to juke the man. Everybody believed that Ty Lue couldn't be Ty Lue because Bron was the reason that 2016 happened. And Ty Lue said, fuck y'all. I'm going across the street and y'all are going to be fucking trying to play in to the fucking playoffs from here on out, nigga. Good luck with that. With two of the greatest players in the fucking NBA. And a decent roster that just can't get locked in because we got a nigga that's coaching that keeping shit in his fucking pocket for big moments. Like the playoffs, playing the Nuggets ain't a big fucking moment when Joker's going crazy. Give me the fuck. Nigga, fuck. I
have not been so actually angered by a quote from a basketball coach in I don't know the last time. I almost threw my phone into a wall. Like I almost had to I got 22 more months of payments on this fucking phone. And I almost had to make 22 months of payments on a broken phone because when I read that shit, I almost threw my phone directly into the drywall, bro.
That was worse than the game to me. The game was like, okay, unfortunate. Didn't they hear him fucking say that? I was looking like Vinny. That picture you sent me. I looked into fucking space, bro. When you sent that, you know what I mean? This nigga,
Vinny's learning. He's rough, man. He's learning.
It's rough.
He's learning.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the Bucks-Pacers game. Another one where, you know, obviously Giannis out, not really sure how that was going to go. And I've mentioned I have a longstanding argument with my friend Ryan about whether the Drew and Dame trade was increased the Bucks' chances of winning a championship or not. This game is the exact argument. Mm-hmm. For why you do it, that you could be missing Giannis, have a dude who's capable of going out, scoring 35 points, 6 of 11 from three, and winning you a game. But also, you got to give some credit. You got to give a little bit of credit to Doc Rivers. Ah, 94 points allowed. Tyler's not having it.
I feel like we can pump the brakes. we can give him some credit, but you know, he's still got a lot of work to do here, buddy. Okay. All right. So you know, we can take it from there. But yeah, it's just like, bro, like Dame was like, oh, we're undermanned in the playoffs. This is my type of party. I'm back in, you know, this feels like Portland to me. This is the good old days, right? Like I'm comfortable here. Right. And he fucking went crazy that first half. So I mean, look. Like any game you win without Giannis is a huge fucking win for Milwaukee, because like I said, even with a full strength Bucks squad, I had doubts on if they would get past this Pacers squad. But bro, to still win without Giannis, that's so huge right here.
How serious is a Giannis injury? Because every time I hear calf, I think of KD.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, bro, I'm wondering how serious are they saying this is? Because if it's anywhere close to that, rest that man. I don't give a fuck about this series. Or these playoffs, you know what I'm saying? So have they spoken to it yet?
I have not seen an update. I'm looking for one right now, but I have. They've been playing it close to the vest, which, to your point, might be, not a great sign. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I hope he comes back. Shit. So Doc's got to win two more and lose one. He's got to lose one and then win two more. Okay. We have to get to 3-1.
It's happening. I can't wait. it's happening, no question.
That would be the funniest.
Everyone's going to be, it seems like Doc Rivers is going to exercise his demons. Dame Lillard's going to lead the Bucks past without Giannis. 3-1 lead.
Halliburton averages 72 points a game,
baby. Oh man, Tyrese Halliburton drops a 50 ball on their heads in the playoffs. Jeez. It's gonna be Doc Rivers is melting down physically on the court. I can see it now.
Chaos, mayhem.
Be fun. Celtics rolled over the Heat. Jackson, our resident Celtics fan, I assume you liked what you saw. Do you have any? What's your, like, are you just 100% confident? What's keeping you up? What's making you nervous about the Celtics right now? It's not the Miami Heat. I know
no,
that.
No, it's not the Miami Heat. It's not the Miami Heat. I mean, if you're going to nitpick, I suppose it's that they let a 30-point lead get down to like 12 in, or 14 or whatever it was in like a 4-minute stretch when they were like being completely lazy at the end of the game, but they were up 30. I'm not pressed about it. I my guess is they still lose a game this series just because, you know, maybe Duncan Robinson hit 6 threes or Tyler Herro actually can make some shots for one, just for a game. Maybe they put one together for a game, but I'm not worried about the Miami Heat.
I remember being you.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
the Miami
Heat.
I remember having a team that I felt like that about.
Enjoy it while it lasts, brothers. You think it's not going to end, but it does.
And I'm not worried about the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic. The Celtics really got just such an unbelievable draw. He with my Jimmy.
That might be our whole Cavs magic. That might be our whole Cavs magic.
That's it. Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
Jackson's not worried about them next round.
I mean, being able to not have to avoid or only to have to play one of the Bucks, Sixers, or Knicks is just an insanely good draw for the Celtics. Yeah. So that plus the fact that they were already head and shoulders best in the East, I'm still, like I said before, fully expect them to get finals appearance or bust, no question. And then if it's Denver, I think it's sort of a coin flip from there.
That's why seeding counts. Steve.
If it's Denver, you think it's a coin flip? You think Denver's a coin flip?
If it's Denver, I think it's a coin flip. I think Denver, you got to give them the edge. They're the defending champion.
Okay.
But you got home court advantage sort of like evens that difference, I think.
Okay.
I think the one thing we talked about, this is really nitpicking. We talked about the difference between the regular season and the playoffs. The Celtics have had some kind of identity, toughness, decision-making issues in the playoffs. I'll be curious to see when they're actually tested, how they show up. The way they played year, I'm not expecting them to trip over their dick like I would, as much as I would love them to do that. But that is the one thing about the Nuggets, and man, did they show that against the Lakers, because that looked like we won the championship last year, this team doesn't have shit for us start to that game. And the moment the Lakers went from 100 miles an hour to 97 miles an hour, they just ran them off the road. And that is a championship DNA. The way that the defense turned the offense on, you know, the Nuggets have shown that, and it's resulted in a championship. That, to me, that's really the only thing for the Celtics. And you might not know the answer to that question until they play the Nuggets in the finals.
Until the finals, exactly. Right. Yeah, I mean, I imagine that either the Sixers or the Knicks, or I guess maybe the Bucks, we'll give them like a entertaining 6-game series in the conference finals, and they'll probably be a game where they have to either lose one because they're trying to get over these, you know, end of game bumps, or they exercise some of those demons hopefully in time for the finals. But at this point, I'm trying to not be like too overreactiony. I don't know, man. The East is not. What is the East compared to the West? We're back there.
Yeah, you seem like you deal with like being a basketball fan or a sports fan different than others, though. Because even when they lose, you don't seem as wrecked. You don't get as high and low as most lifelong fans, it seems.
Having to do it as a job sort of takes away from that a little bit.
Let Joe Mazzulla say he's saving a fucking Jokic adjustment for game two, and we'll see how Jackson reacts.
Okay, bro, I have no idea if he's gotten positive or negative reception for his quote, but they asked him about the Caleb Martin like foul at the end of the game, and Mazzulla, I loved his answer. He said, I was excited to see what he was going to do. I had a good time watching it. I was like, I think that is so dope. I want to see what your best player is going to do too. The coach doesn't need to like be like, well, no, we got to get this shit out of the game or none of that stupid. Like, I would love to also see like how my best player is going to respond when he gets undercut by a rivalry opponent. I think that's great. I think especially in the first round in a game that, you know, you're going to win. I love Joe Mazzulla. I've fully flipped 180. Wow. Where I'm completely in on the guy.
Mm. Mm. Mozzarella.
We'll see how many counters he's saving for game six against the Denver Nuggets. But for now, I'm a big Joe Mazzulla fan.
Do you have anything to say about the Cavs magic, or should I delete that?
Yeah. Come on, brother.
All right, let's talk about the Timberwolves.
Let's keep it a bean.
Let's over talk here, about Jones. Let's talk about the Timberwolves beating up on the Suns and Ant-Man with just like one of those moments I feel like we'll remember for a long time. The way he went at KD, the way he was talking shit, like that was genuinely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it feels like those boys might be ready. What do you think? Are they, Tyler, are you taking them out of the oven? Are they cooked now? Are they fully baked, or is there still some raw dough in there?
I've said since preseason that, you know, the roster, the way the Suns roster is constructed, and then we saw the brand of basketball they're playing. I was like, bro, this isn't championship basketball. You're not going anywhere in the playoffs with this, right? I wouldn't be surprised at all if Minnesota beats them. I would be surprised if Phoenix wins that series, you know. But as far as Ant, bro, like, I just love how Ant is just embracing all of the like coronation that's being like laid upon him. Like, everyone's like, bro, you're next up. You're going to be the new face of the league. You're one of the coldest young players. He's like, yeah, y'all right. I'm a bad motherfucker. Right. Like, right? Yeah, like, I love how Ant doesn't play. I love how Ant just doesn't play the whole give him the corny cliche trying to stay level headed shit. He's someone who's very much aware of how cold he is. And he's like, yeah, you know, like that back and forth he had with KD and shit after he gave KD a bucket. Like, I love seeing shit like that, dude. I love it. I love Ant, man.
You also want to know who loves that too? Fucking KD.
Yeah.
KD loved that shit too, bro. Mm-hmm. He was cheesing like, hell yeah, nigga. I love to see it, baby. Talk your shit. But I guess it's basketball. He's gonna get his get back. You feel what I'm saying? But yeah, I don't know if they're ready. I think they're a good basketball team. They can very well make it to the conference finals for sure. You know what I mean? But like, Ant's ready. I don't know if they're, I think Ant's ready. And we'll see who follows him, if anybody does. You feel me? I think, but as far as Ant, I think, I don't know if there's a more confident basketball player in the world. He was KD's his like idol. Mm-hmm. They were talking about on the, KD is his, is the GOAT to him. You feel me? And he was going against his GOAT and giving that man buckets. Like, how many people can say that? And then talking shit on top of it? Not like the when Tatum dunked on Bron, oops, my bad, I forgot, I got out of myself. You know what I mean? No, he shot the shot, looked at him like, yeah, nigga, I'm here. What you gonna do? You feel me? Stood on it. So yeah, bro, like, I love that, you know. And all the adulation he's getting, yo, he deserves all of that shit, and he knows it. And we'll see like what we'll see if the rest of the team follows him. But that man's definitely ready for whatever comes to him.
We also had the Knicks beating the Sixers and a fuck Trae Young chant erupting outside MSG. I personally love that, but I saw social media decided that Knicks fans are lame for continuing
rent,
to be
rent free. Baby, all that bullshit, right? No, listen, look, y'all know I was a Knicks fan a few lifetimes ago, so I still keep them close to my heart. And I love how Knicks fans celebrate every fucking thing, bro, right? And I love, and as far as the whole fuck Trae Young chant goes, I like how they don't squash the beef too. Like, we're not playing the Hawks. We just got a playoff win, but still, fuck that motherfucker over there too. Like, let's not forget
that. Can't forget about that,
right? You know what I'm saying? I love that shit too, bro. So yeah, I really, really fucking love Knicks fans. And if they're ever blessed with a championship, like, bro, we might have to call the National Guard into New York City, because those motherfuckers are going to go crazy.
We might have to call Jenkins and Jones into New York City for that.
Hey, turn us up, dog. We're going to have a grand old time in New York fucking with them.
From the first shot, they were like just so fucking amped, bro. And I also love, like you said, like it, for me, if it's, I have a homie who had a beef with a nigga and he squashed the beef and they cool and it's still fucking for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Fuck that nigga forever, bro. You know what I mean? This is fuck you once, it's fuck you forever. And I love that type of energy. And the Knicks is like that. You feel me? Knicks fans are like that. So yeah. But I mean, people always talk about like it's good for Knicks to be good. You know what I mean? For the NBA. They're right. You know what I mean? Winning, or you know what I'm saying? When they're winning or when they're competing, bro, it's just enjoyable to watch. The energy itself. You feel me?
One thing I know that everyone on this show agrees about is that injuries are never funny. But the Embiid off the glass to himself dunk and then landing wrong, that's close. It was close to being funny. It was close to being funny. Trying that move in traffic and then falling on the ground. I don't know, bro. I won't say I laughed at it. I would say I almost laughed at it. Am I a horrible person or are you with me?
You low-key might be. But
love you, but my nigga. Yeah.
Hey, you might be a terrible person for that. But no, it's you know, Embiid's done that before this season. I feel like Embiid found a cheat code where it's like, oh, I can just throw this off the glass. I don't need to, you know, work a motherfucker in the post. I can throw it off the glass and get a bucket. And I feel like he just pulled it out of his toolbox there again. And then he landed on his knee wrong, and it was like, bro, just the look on his face was just
it was horrible. Like, they said it's they're optimistic about his return, which is good because I would like
yeah.
that to
yeah. He came back that game, so yes.
Well, they're optimistic about it, not because you know you never know. Someone comes back and shit swells up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're optimistic he'll be fine, I guess, going forward. But
I mean, shit, you got to remember, Embiid is a throwback. That motherfucker is 7 foot 280. Seven footers are 260 these days. You know what I mean? Like he's a big boy, bro.
Yeah. That's why he probably shouldn't be doing that particular move with two dudes in the paint. I don't know, bro.
It ain't his fault he got big shoulders, nigga. He got a wide frame. You know what I mean? Come on, man. He got the shoulders to match. A lot of these niggas don't. You feel me? That's his only difference. So.
That's true. All right, we're going to close here with Dookie Butt of the Week, as we always do. I guess my Dookie Butt is me for thinking that Joel Embiid fucking tripping over his own dick was funny, but...
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more... Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tyler, who's your Dookie Butt of the Week?
Shit, it might have to be Drake, bro. For that AI bullshit he pulled, man.
Let's talk about it.
Dog, look, I want to preface this by saying that I'm fully aware that, like, the shit that I'm about to say right now about Drake, the Drake stans are not going to feel me on. And, you know, respectfully or disrespectfully, however they want to take it, fuck them. Because, you know, for one, they're like the worst fucking fan base in rap. They do not really give a shit about rap as an art form. They care about Drake first and foremost above all else. And they will never say that man is tripping.
They're the Steph fans of rap, bro.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Perfect analogy. But I hate that AI shit that he pulled, bro. I hate that AI shit that he pulled with Tupac and Snoop. And it's not even on some, oh man, you're going too far in a beef. Because I firmly believe that you cannot go too far in a beef. right? Like, I believe there's no rules. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it when motherfuckers are beefing a rap. But that doesn't mean we can't call shit corny when it's corny. And that shit Drake pulled was corny as fuck. Like, my whole thing is, bro, I don't want AI in a rap beef. I don't want AI in music, period. You know what I'm saying? It's not me just saying, oh, no, you can't bring that into a beef. Bro, keep that shit out of music, period. And it feels like the shit that he pulled when he, you know, did the AI shit with Tupac. Like, bro, you're bringing up, you're resurrecting one of our legends who we lost so tragically. And you're using his likeness to fucking try to be Rabbit 8 Mile your way out of like groomer allegations. Like, that's what we're doing here. That's corny, bro. That's so fucking corny. And it's like I said, like, Drake fans are never going to hold Drake accountable because they don't really give a shit about rap. They give a shit about Drake. But that shit that he pulled, that shit was so fucking corny to me. And like I said about the whole AI shit, how I want to keep that shit out of music. You got to understand that, like, as long as there's been black music, there's been white people trying to box black people out of it. You go back to like the fucking 1950s. They pulled that shit off with rock. They pulled that shit off with country. They could never pull it off with rap, though. Right. Like, because rap operates on a certain kind of cultural currency where you, if you want to be a successful rapper, you got to be cool. You got to have some swagger about you. Right. And you can't filter that shit.
You got to look the part. You know
yes,
I mean?
Yes. You can't like in the '50s, they might have been stealing rock from black artists and giving it to like a swaggerless motherfucker like Buddy Holly, and that shit was going quadruple platinum. You can't do that with rap, bro. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that with rap. You have to have some swag about you. You gotta be a cool motherfucker to be a successful rapper. And that has always been like rap saving grace to where white people cannot box black people out of the art. Which is why AI concerns me so much. Because I feel like you can kind of replicate swagger a bit with that shit. Right? Like, you can put a voice filter on some shit. You know what I'm saying? And fool the people and just, you know, kind of, you know, water that shit down a bit to enough to where the white consumers are going to eat that shit up, because that's all it is about. It's white people trying to push black people out of shit to sell to white consumers, because white consumers want to see white people in this art form. It's the reason why Eminem is the number one rap, you know, selling rapper of all time. And Eminem has said it himself. If I was black, I wouldn't have did half. I didn't have to graduate from high school to know that. Right. Like, Eminem is aware of that shit. It's his damn self. But I just hate how the biggest fucking rapper in the world used a technology that nothing good is going to come of that shit for rap. The only thing that's going to come out of the AI for rap is black people, black artists being boxed out. And I hate that he did that. And like I said, I hate that he used a legend like Tupac to give him fucking cover for being a weirdo. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like I said, you could say that anything's fair in rap beef. And like I said, I'm with that too. But that shit's still weird. It's still corny. And like, Ross had a point. Because this isn't, that motherfucker's moving like a white man will move right now. Right? That motherfucker is not giving a shit about the fucking
white
art.
Boy.
Yeah, the art, the culture of rap. He is fucking bringing up Tupac to give him cover for being a weirdo. Like, that's white boy shit right there. And John, me and you, you know, we had discussions before where I forgot who it was, where Joe Budden or Lupe or whoever the fuck said like Drake wasn't hip hop. And I was like, no, Drake's hip hop. He's a student of this shit.
Right.
And the shit that he pulled was like, bro, this is exactly how white men move in this rap shit. Like, yeah, Drake is a knowledgeable motherfucker. He knows his shit when it comes to rap. He's a historian, but he doesn't understand, you know, the lines that you shouldn't cross in this shit as far as what it comes to, you know, respecting the culture of this shit. Right. To just, you know, resurrect Pac for the bullshit that he did right there. I'm just not fucking with it. And like I said, you know, I know that Drake fans ain't going to feel me on this, but it's fuck y'all. Because like I said, y'all are never going to think your daddy did anything wrong. But I'm just not riding with that shit right there.
Calling another nigga a nigga daddy is always funny to me. But your daddy. but no, I was wondering as far as like, because honestly, bro, it was like when I heard Tupac. You know, like, Tupac is a nigga whose music, to me, like, I don't know if anybody's music felt more spiritual than Tupac. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're like, you know how, like, I'm not a devout Christian. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? I grew up in a church, but I'll listen to, you know, like, church music, like the hymnals, and I'll get emotional because I feel the music. You feel me? Tupac's music, I don't know if I felt anybody's music like I felt Tupac's music before. You know what I mean? So when I heard, you know, Drake, you know, Tupac, the AI Tupac rapping Drake's music, it felt so nasty to me. Yeah. Because like it's like Tupac's voice kinda without the you know the energy that makes it Tupac. Yeah. You know what I mean? The spirit that makes it Tupac. It felt so gross to me. But what I was wanting, so I didn't really listen to I heard it. I probably made it 40 seconds and turned the shit off. I'm like, I don't need to fucking hear none of this shit. This shit is whack as fuck. You feel me? And it just feels nasty. But like, I'm wondering, like, with the grooming allegations and shit, it seemed like when he was talking shit, he was saying, hey, this is the stuff you could do to come at Drake. Like kind of like coaching him in his particular. Yeah. Was that
it's
what
like
he was
Tyler
doing?
Said. No, it's okay. Like Tyler okay. said. It was the 8 Mile B Rabbit.
Yeah,
like.
It was 8 Mile. Yeah, I live with my mom. Yeah, I'm broke. Yeah, okay, so, you know, yeah. Oh, okay, it was the B Rabbit.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But no, you can't B Rabbit your way out of that shit, my boy. We need to know why you texting fucking.
Hey, for
Millie
sure.
Bobby
and so, that, so what I really want to know, as far as some allegations, bro, what time is it on that? I looked at. I hadn't really gotten looked it up too much. I wasn't really involved in it when like people were brought up. But I looked that shit up. That shit was. Bro, that shit feel real foul, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it feels, I don't, bro. So like, for me, it's bigger than just that beat. When he brought that shit up and made me look up that, I'm like, when y'all brought it up, I started looking up. I'm like, nigga, I don't know, bro. We need answers. We need answers.
I texted the group chat. I heard he did the AI thing. I was like, that's it. But then to hear that he used Tupac's voice to try that technique on that specific allegation, bro, like. Really? I don't know, man. And we've talked about the toxic masculinity. We all grew up in the 90s, all this other shit. Tupac to me has that, like, that's the feeling to me of like the correct, to some level, the correct kind of toxic, like very protective of his mother and women in his life, et cetera, et cetera. But like in an almost overly violent kind of way. Like that's.
I'm fine with that. Beating the ass over your baby sister or your mom
so
or your girlfriend.
Some overlap
that needs
to me. Like,
we need to keep that. We need to keep
that.
You feel me? Yeah.
And so to use that voice on is I don't know. I was bothered. I was that shit was gross as fuck to me. John, who's your dookie butt of the week?
Devin Haney, my boy. Devin fucking Haney, G. That is the most embarrassing. I haven't been more embarrassed watching a fighter get beat since Broner got beat by my Donna, bro. Like, this, the man, and he can say he was joking the whole time. He obviously is. Like, even in the post-fight, he looked, Ryan Garcia looked like he's dealing with some you know, bipolar. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get into it. Yeah, you know what I mean? But he didn't seem like a person that was completely locked in mentally. You know what I mean? Even in the post fight, whatever, right? Out of shape, drinks a beer on the fucking weight scale before the fight, right? Devin Haney's talking all shit, you know, I'm the GOAT. Niggas, they rev him to be the one. I'm trying to fight these niggas, they don't want to fight me. And you get, there's four kings in that weight class, right? And there's it's Shakur, it's Haney, it's Garcia, and it's a Tank, you feel me? And the worst one by far was supposed to be Garcia. That's the one they squeezed in because, like you said, he a good looking motherfucker. They hate him because he's beautiful. That's a beautiful motherfucker. You feel me? So that's why they squoze him in because they want him to be a big deal. And he just punished your ass, bro. Punished you. He has one punch that he presses, like that he fucking spams. You feel me? You know what it is, nigga. You know what I mean? And you couldn't do nothing with it. You're a top level boxer, one of the pound for pound greats, the youngest undisputed boxer of all time. And this nigga that can barely box has horrible fucking feet, but he has that pop and you ain't got no motherfucking chin, dog. You feel me? And he had your eyes rolling back in your motherfucking head like he was hitting that spot, nigga. He tooted that booty up and got. And cooked you in front of the whole world, bro. You feel me? And you been, nigga, this is why I say, hey, bro, fight the best. Even if Shakur would box circles around Haney, bro. You know what I mean? Shakur is one of the best boxing minds I've ever seen. Brilliant, bro. But at least you lost to Shakur. You feel me? Motherfuckers keep giving you passes. You lost to Lomachenko. They push you out here, and now you get fucking exposed in the worst way. You feel me? Like, dog, fight the best. So at least you lose to a GOAT. You chasing the bag, and you look like a fucking silly motherfucker getting cooked. And I'm not mad. I mean, what? I'm a fan of Haney, which I didn't want him to lose. I didn't want him to lose that fight because I don't want to see anybody go out like that. I ain't room for that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I hated seeing him get embarrassed in that way. You feel me? But it, like, I was tired of all the bullshit talking. His dad, Bill, was annoying. And people that I know in the space said that nigga was that he's hard to deal with. So at least they ain't got the keys anymore. You know what I'm saying? People, you know, like they got to build themselves back up. You feel me? But nigga, like, come on, bro. That was an embarrassing showing. That was an embarrassing showing, G.
Haney seems like he is like the worst combination. He has the worst combination you can have as a boxer, where he has a weak chin and no power.
No, like, power, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got a weak chin and no power, bro, like, that's the worst fucking combination you can have. And he just, like you said, he just got exposed, bro.
In between, like, dude, Garcia was so out of shape, he was taking rounds off. The man would just shell up and be in the corner just to get hit. But Dev ain't got no power, so it don't mean nothing. People are like, where was this Garcia when he was fighting Tank? Nigga, he was fighting a nigga that could knock his fucking head off. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to approach a pit bull and a chihuahua two totally different ways, motherfucker. You feel me? He was in the ring with a nigga that ain't got a lot of bark and no motherfucking
got
bite,
knocked out
brother.
By a body punch in that shit. Like, let's not forget, you know?
You feel me? I mean, and he got set down before that, too. I think his rib was fucked up, but yes. Anyway, but he had some more in him and he quit. You feel me? But the way he embarrassed that man was wild. Dude. It was embarrassing to watch. I hate to see it, but like, my nigga, fight the best. Quit running. Because at least you lose. If you lose Shakur, you lost Shakur. We can give you that excuse. We ain't got no excuse for this. This is just embarrassing.
Jackson, you think better the week?
Bro, last thing, that man Haney, when I saw that man Haney in some Essentials Fear of God's sweat shorts, I was like, I don't know, bro. Can you even do that? Is that legal? like
nigga. He had on moccasins, bro. Yeah. He had on moccasins. I don't know. So, like, you out there in some motherfucking, what's it, some gray moccasins, nigga? What the fuck ever color? Anyway, bro. It's just not a good look, dog. And also, I want to say this, too. The scoring of boxing needs to be thought. We need to think about that better, bro. Because if we go
there,
by
there
the
should
numbers,
be no way that a fight where one dude got knocked down three times, another dude didn't get knocked down once, should have came down to a call, and it came down to them. We were sweating with the cards, and it was just a majority, not a unanimous, right?
If we go off the scoring, like if we look at it, it could have easily been a draw, and one man looked like they got their ass beat, and the other looked like they just got out the shower. They were Garcia was just wet. That's all he was. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
As a less than casual boxing fan, the scoring was for me, to be completely honest with you, that's like, it's such a big barrier to entry for like, hey, I'm interested in this sport. It's like, oh, we're just going to watch him for like a long time and then someone's going to tell us what happened. The boxing I've probably watched the most of my life is Olympic boxing because there's a scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know what's happening. You know what the rationale is. Like you said, I've never seen someone at the end of an Olympic boxing match, their face fucked up and they won. If you beat the other dude up, you win. You know, it's that simple. Jackson, your Dookie Butt of the Week.
My Dookie Butt of the Week is, I saw a clip on TikTok of someone at Universal Studios, and there's a Hard Rock Cafe at Universal Studios, and there's a neon sign, Hard Rock Cafe. And the last three letters of the word cafe on the neon sign were out. So it said Hard R Cafe.
Oh, no.
That shit is hilarious.
I bet Hard R Cafe, nigga. I don't know.
Which Hard R?
Fire, nigga. Which Hard R? Which Hard R? Which Hard R? Oh, shit.
Woof. My Dookie Butt of the Week is, and I want to be clear before I bring this up. I don't want to talk about the serious underpinnings of this really dangerous and horrific message. But my Dookie Butt of the Week is Jill Scott for tweeting in defense of Chris Brown today. Now, listen, tweeting about how talented he was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I've never read a sentence like this in my life. So she had this nice post about him. Someone responded, I think the women he's abused would disagree. That's a pretty valid point. It's a pretty valid point. Jill Scott's response was, I doubt it. My mother's ex-husband was a mean, violent human, and he could lay foundation better than anyone in my city. Now, at this point, I paused mentally for a moment, and I thought perhaps laying foundation in my city meant something that I didn't know.
A community member, maybe. You know what I'm saying? A solid member of the community.
Perhaps he united various factions or something. And the next sentence is, what he did with cement was awe-inspiring.
What a sentence. What a sentence. Like, that sentence right there. What he did with cement was awe-inspiring. It just, bruh.
I like good craftsmanship, but it only goes so far, brother. You know what I mean? Crazy.
All right, I don't want. I have nothing else to say about it. That sentence was truly something else.
That was something serious. But you know, I get what she was trying to get at about. You know, people can be multifaceted. Just because he's an abuser doesn't mean he can't contribute positively to society and all that. And I would just like to say, fuck all that. Let's not prioritize the hurt that you do to people. Let's not prioritize what you contribute to society over the hurt that you do to people. I will never be on that side of things ever. But you know, maybe that's me. Like I said, a Knicks fan in a past life, I'm a grudge holder. I'm certainly someone who doesn't take the high ground either. If you're going low, we're going to hell. So you know, maybe my views do not align with Jilly here, but. I will never ever side with, you know, valuing someone's contributions over the harm that they do. Never.
Yeah. I always judge people by how they treat the people they love, bro. I know a lot of people who were good people in society, who people that knew them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just can't get past that. You feel me? Like if you, you know, doing great things out in the world and you going home and raising hell at the house, nigga.
Yeah.
No respect, bro. No, zero respect from me.
No amount of masonry work would offset that for my judgment of that person as a human being. I'm with you. All right. That's all the time we got. Jackson, we got anything in the chat? I know we've been on for a long time already.
Because everyone is laughing at the phrasing of laying foundation.
That's why that was the other thought that I had. It's just like, oh, he really.
That man had a cock like no other.
The work he did with that cement.
The work he did with that phallus was awe-inspiring, brother. That got nasty. But anyway.
two worst words in the English language, cock and phallus. That's a real 4 versus 5.
Bro, y'all got on my head series. About cock. Y'all got on my head about. Were they going to 7? That's going down to the wire, cock and phallus.
For sure. All right, that's all the time we got. We will do another live episode. Thank you to everyone who hung out with us, youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. We're going to do another live episode after the playoff games, I think on Wednesday. We'll put that out on social media when we get that date set. And then Silly Billy episode Saturday as usual. And hope everyone gets a good start to their week. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see y'all soon. Bye.
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 The Volume.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at price that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.